baptism is not something that the Christians have the market on. Baptism or submission under water. You will see in a moment why submersion is, it's the right baptism, not sprinkling. Not sprinkling. It's actually baptismo, which is being submission under water. My point is that there are people who defend their ignorance, defend their culture, defend their tradition, and yet they still don't know what's going on.
Peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
Leadership is critical in the church. We need leaders who will prepare the way for the Lord. We need leaders who will consult us to repent and change our ways. We need leaders who will help us identify Christ when He comes in our midst. Unfortunately, though, we need leaders who will say, "He must be greater and I must become less." It's what John the Baptist knew about himself, and it's what Pastor Poncha will explore on today's program of On the Level, as we'll look at John chapter 3 and consider deference versus preference. That's what we'll have considered on today's program, coming up next on this edition of On the Level Radio.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
Turn with me, please, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 3. How has your day been? Great, wonderful. How many of you had a bad day today? Amen. I love you. Thank you. Well, there are times in our Christian life where we're going to go through some great days and some okay days and some, you know, those days. But there are some days that you're going to have to go through some travail. You're going to have to go through some difficulty. And we all experience them. And so tonight I thank God that I'm a Christian. I thank God that God has saved me. I thank God that I have a living hope. I thank God that He has a purpose for my life. I thank God profusely for everything He has done for me. I will never change anything. If God would give me the power to change anything, I would want nothing change. I won't even ask to be a young man again. I would not. I am content where I'm at. Even if someone invented some hair growth, I would not want hair growth. I love the way God is ministering to me in my life during this time. Even though it was a difficult day for me personally, difficult day. But I can tell you that I'm looking forward to just to studying God's word. Like you, I want the words from God. I want the words from heaven. I don't want a philosophy. I don't want Dr. Ruth. I don't want Dr. Phil. I don't want Oprah. I don't want the Reader's Digest. I don't want the National Enquirer. I don't like the TV Guide. I don't want all these talking heads to tell me what I should do. I am a Christian, and I listen to God. God, what do you want me to do? And man, I am telling you, if you're here tonight, you know, don't listen to anyone to tell you how to live your life, what you ought to do. The Holy Spirit as a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're in la-la land. And you don't know where you're at spiritually. The Bible says that you're spiritually blind, but you're saying, hey, you're talking to me, man. I'm a non-Christian. I just came here to check things out. I'm not blind. I can see you. You're ugly and you're bald-headed. I know. But we're talking about spiritual things. John the Baptist, he's terrestrial. He's earthly. there was a contention between the disciples of John and the Jews. You see, John had disciples, meaning he had students or followers. When Jesus came into the scene, when John the Baptist inaugurated his ministry, Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was baptized at the age of 30 years old, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and he was commissioned because he began to say, "The Spirit of God is upon me to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted." And he was commissioned as his ministry had begun for 3 years. And so John the Baptist continued baptizing, even though he already introduced the Lamb of God. So we have two great men preaching in the hills of Judea. But John already knew that he was terrestrial. He had a purpose. Even his father, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1, when little John the Baptist was circumcised, his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Spirit on the day of circumcision for John. And he began to prophesy. And he began to say, "My son, you are going to be the forerunner of the Savior." John always knew his role. He knew his purpose. The Bible says in the beginning of the Gospels that in the appropriate time, John was living in the desert. And he had made the vow of a Nazarite. Don't confuse a Nazareth, a Nazarene, with a Nazarite. A Nazarene is a citizen of the city or town of Nazareth. A Nazarite vow was made by a Jewish individual who made an oath to God to completely consecrate himself to God. And one of the elements of consecration is that he would not drink any wine, any liquor at all. He would not even eat raisins, anything from the vine he would not touch. That was one of the elements of being a Nazarite as they made that vow, "I will not drink." Secondly, they will make another vow that they will never shave and they will never cut their hair. Think of the worst hippie you ever seen in the picture. You ever seen CC Top? If you haven't, God bless you. It's all right. But I saw a man around 3 weeks ago. He had a beard all the way down, almost to his kneecaps. Personally, I thought he looked cool. Personally. I mean, why be normal? You know what I mean? We live in California. Why you want to be normal? My wife says, "Why are you wearing sandals?" "Because my feet hurt." "But it's Wednesday night. It doesn't look appropriate." I said, "We're Calvary Chapel. I already wore a suit Sunday. Give me a break." I see you guys with shorts and I see you guys with suits. Two of you. It's wonderful. It's all right. And so I hope you don't mind. You know, if you mind this, wait till summer. I'm wearing shorts on Wednesday night and Sunday nights. But the first Sunday, I will wear a suit and a tie for our visitors so they don't think I'm really weird. But it's the freedom that we have. Nevertheless, I thought this guy looked cool. And because I'm reading the book of John, the Bible says that John came in the spirit of Elijah. There was a similarity about Elijah and John the Baptist. Both were wilderness men. We are told in 2 Kings 9:8 that Elijah was a hairy man and he wore a leather belt. John the Baptist did. But John had one up on him. His diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. That was his dinner. He would not eat anything else. So he was eccentric. He was an oddity. He was bizarre. He would be arrested and be taken to Metropolitan Hospital if you will see him today. But he had an authority. He would command the attention. And thousands were coming to him to be baptized. In John chapter 1, I mean, he attracted so much attention that the people in Jerusalem, the movers and the shakers, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, all the wannabes and the authority, they came up. And John was not afraid. He called them, "What do you want, you snakes, you brutal vipers? Are you coming to escape the wrath to come?" He says, "Repent and don't say you Abraham's children." I tell you, man, he said, he was angry with them. "What do you want?" "We just want to find out. Who are you?" "Me? I'm just the voice in the wilderness crying out, 'Make way for the coming of the Lord.'" "Are you the Christ?" "Nope." "Are you the coming one?" "Nope." "Are you Elijah?" "Nope." "Who are you?" "I told you, I'm just the voice." He says, "Someone is greater than me that's coming, that I am not even unworthy to unlatch his sandal." He says, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. And then one day, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus wanted to get baptized. Now, Jesus doesn't have any sins. And the people were getting baptized to get ready to purify themselves. It was symbolic for the Jews. Baptism is not something that the Christians have the market on. Baptism, or submission under water. You will see in a moment why submersion is, it's the right baptism, not sprinkling. Not sprinkling. It's actually baptismo, which is means submission under water. The Bible says when Jesus came up from the water, the Holy Spirit came. In a moment, you'll see that there's no such thing as sprinkling, and there's no such thing as baptizing babies. One of the controversies in our community, people get angry. Grandpas and grandmas and mothers and fathers, they get so angry when their new grandchild is not going to go to the baptism. And then they have to drop the dime on mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. "We opted not to baptize the baby." "Why not? I already bought 2 kegs. I already got Johnny Pachuco's catering. They're coming. I already got everything. What are you talking about?" "Well, we're just going to dedicate him." "What is dedication? What is that?" "Well, our pastor, you know, at our church, he is going to dedicate him because there's no such thing as infant baptism." A cultural, ethnic heart attack. "Who said there is no child baptism?" "Well, the Bible says that, but here's a CD of our pastor, and now you get me in trouble." He said, "Listen to him." And people still cannot understand it. There was a time when I told a gentleman, "If you find child baptism in the Bible," I says, "I'll lead a hat in front of you." And he says, "Shake on it." I shook on it. But after I shook on it, I go, "Oh my gosh, maybe there is." I had a momentary doubt. Oh, it was only momentary because I knew that it wasn't. I said, "You come and see me, sir." And I went one step further. I said, "If you find child baptism, you come with me the following Sunday, and I will tell the whole congregation that what I have been teaching is a lie." He never came back. Never came back. Because he realized that, first of all, he's not going to read the whole Bible. Secondly, he may not understand what he's reading because he's a heathen. And third, I don't think he wanted me to see eat a real hat. My point is that there are people who defend their ignorance, defend their culture, defend their tradition, and yet they still don't know what's going on. There were people here that were misunderstood. The disciples of John realized that Jesus was baptizing, not Jesus. Jesus was supervising. Just like Paul says, I don't baptize anyone. He says, "I haven't baptized anyone." He goes, "I only baptized 2 people. So Paul was basically supervising the baptisms. So was Jesus. Jesus now had Peter, James, and John, and Philip, and Andrew. He had them already. And so they were baptizing. But you see, more people were now following Jesus. So a disciple of John did not understand the dynamics. And so when this Jew came up to him, several Jews, they were saying, well, make up your mind. You have two camps here. John is baptizing here. He is your leader. But more people are going to get baptized for Jesus. He says, so what's going on? So the Jews and one of the disciples of John had this intense debate, and they wanted to clarify it. So they went up to John. They says, hey, John, look at Jesus is over there, and you're here. What's up? More people are going to see Jesus. And John realized, hey, I'm not in competition. I'm not in rivalry. We're not here to outdo each other. John says, I know what I'm supposed to do. I have a role in my life. I have a purpose. My purpose is done. Hey, if more people go to Jesus, I accomplish my purpose. I lived for 33 years. He is older than Jesus by 6 months. 33 and a half. And he says, I've done it. And eventually, he will become decapitated because of his love for God. Jesus said, there is no other greater prophet greater than John the Baptist. He was a great man, a man who knew his role. You and I need to learn these principles. These principles as Christians. You see, we need to understand just as John understood. John said, I am terrestrial. Jesus is celestial. He's from heaven. I have my own philosophy as a human being. Jesus has the words from God the Father. I'm from below, John says, but he's from above. What Jesus is bringing is a testimony from God. My testimony is only here. John basically was saying, I've never been to heaven. I was born here. Sure, it was a supernatural birth. My mom was around 87 years old when she had me. He says, but I was still human. But Jesus has the words and the testimony of God the Father. His testimony is true. And John says there are people who don't understand his testimony. And John had in mind Nicodemus in chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Because Nicodemus didn't understand. Jesus said, well, I'm speaking you heavenly things. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a Christian tonight, let me tell you why the Word of God is very difficult for you. It's not that we're scholars and we understand the Bible. You see, something happened to us as Christians. The Bible says that when we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came upon us. And once the consciousness of God dwelt in our heart, it became the dictator of our life. God was now leading us, guiding us, speaking to us, convicting us, changing us, giving you a desire to go back to school. The Holy Spirit teaches you about culture, tells you how to speak softly, how to put away vulgarity, how to put away profanity. The Holy Spirit soothes you in forgetting the past, and he gives you a hunger and a desire for the Word, and the Word of God will be understood, because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you everything. And thus the Word of God becomes active, living, sharper than a two-edged sword. We get to understand it, and it speaks loudly. The Word of God speaks with such authority that not even the principal of a school can speak as eloquent as the Word of God. Not even your wife or your husband can able to convince you of something that he or she's trying to tell you until the Holy Spirit convicts you. The Holy Spirit gives you hope. It is the Word of God, and we understand it. So if you're not a Christian tonight, I'm not saying, well, too bad, sucker. No. God forbid. I am telling you, if you're not a Christian, there's going to be an opportunity tonight for you to stand up like we stood up. We did the same thing. We went someplace, someone led us to the Lord. For me, it was in a service just like this. Some of you accepted the Lord at work through one of your co-workers. You accepted the Lord perhaps at a funeral. You accepted the Lord because you realized your near-death experience and you needed God and you prayed, God, come into my life. Perhaps your marriage was failing and you realized that God can only help you. Perhaps you were aging and you realized that you have no hope and someone told you about the hope of God eternity and you believed it and now you're here. But most of us heard it at a church like me. And I had to get up. But for me, it was very easy. I wasn't sitting way out there. It makes it harder. See, for me, I was in the third, fourth row. I only took like 5 steps, so it wasn't that bad. But there were some girls way in the back that they had to walk all the way. And I said, I'm glad I did not sit all the way out there. Because I just went up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was right there. That was it. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist knew his purpose. When you have a purpose, there's a certain pizzazz, a propellant, if I may. It gives you just a little bit of a go. There's a purpose. You're not just spinning your wheels. Someone said we're not only merely existing, walking in a circular grave, just walking and walking aimlessly, and all you're doing as you walk, you make a rut, and you realize you're only making your own grave. It's a circular grave. Many people are like in the world like that. I took Millie out for lunch. There was a gentleman sitting there, and 4 loud, nasty girls. Nasty. Woo! Nasty. They looked nasty, they ate nasty, and they spoke nasty. And the guy was not even blushing. They didn't even have the decency that other people are hearing this. We had to sit there and hear all this horrible, despicable talk. I mean, it isn't like I haven't heard it. I have to remind you, I was in the military. There isn't anything I have heard. There isn't anything obscene and grotesque that I have not seen. I've seen it all. And don't ask me later on what. Perversity. I seen it all. I heard it all. I spoke it all. But I'm a Christian now, and I cannot believe there are still some animals with that kind of language publicly. Talking about their private parts and talking about how they get it on and who, how many of you have you done it and all this and this that, while they're eating. Ugh. What kind of life is that? I mean, that's all they talked about. And I realized I felt sorry for them. There has to be more than life just to gratifying some sexual affair. There's got to be more than life. Children, contentment. You take your children and you spend time with them. I just don't understand. But then I do understand. They're spiritually blind. They're only merely meandering in life. They have no goal. They're just waiting for TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Why? Because we're going to just party Friday. We're going to go to the swap meet Saturday. And then Sunday, after I wake up, we're going to go to rolling in the park. And that's it. And drink a couple of beers and get the hookup and then go to work again. Vicious cycle. Aimless lady. Was the title of a song by Grand Funk. Aimless lady, where are you going? You seem to be lost. Aimless lady, you have nothing to live for. Aimless lady. How many people don't have a purpose, don't have an aim, don't have a desire, don't have a commitment? They don't have nothing. It's just, I'm just waking up. John the Baptist had a purpose.
Well, as I already mentioned earlier, that leadership is a critical thing in the church. We must have leaders that will prepare the way for the Lord. We need leaders who will help us identify Christ when he comes in our midst. And we definitely need leaders that do exactly what John the Baptist did. He became lesser so that Christ could be greater. A great study today by Pastor Pancho in John chapter 3, and there's still much more to learn, which we'll explore further on our next program of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear the study again. Simply go to our website at thearcmontebello.com. That's thearcmontebello.com. It's there also. You can learn more about getting our ARC app, the free mobile app that we have available, by simply going to our website at thearcmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the ARC Montebello in California.